Blog Talk Radio.
There, now I'm on.
This is All About
All
Wine.
About Wine.
Option dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yay!
There they are.
There they are, the bus people, happy. I think they're bouncing around because they're so cold. Would do it. Welcome to All About Wine. This is live. And when you hear it on all the other stuff, when you pick it up later, we won't be live. But we are live now. It's 7:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's December the 7th, 2023. And I think that sums it up. We have a show, one more show before, well, next week we have our cigar guys on again. They've been on once before, but we'll be talking about some comparisons of cigar and wine and cost and stuff like that. I've talked to them a little bit before, and they are looking forward to it, as are we. So it should be fun. And then one more show before Christmas. And then, before I forget it, I have to, I did forget it. I'll remember it later. I don't know, something went through my mind. I lost. So we've got ourselves a guest tonight, Todd Norwood. He is a wine blogger, blogger or writer or something. I think blogger. And he has done that for a while, and he says, I'm going to make a movie. And so he did. He is the director of a movie called Gap Weekend. And this movie has been compared to Sideways, which is interesting because Sideways was a sort of a cult movie for some reason. It really caught on. A lot of people loved the movie. Some people hated it. Depends on who you were. But this has been compared to Sideways. I have to confess, I have not watched the movie. That's my bad. But we will let Todd tell us all about it and how he got where he is and all that. And he has been patiently waiting in the green room, so we'll have to pull him out away from all of our food and everything we keep in the green room so he can come out and talk with us. So, with no further ado, well to the show, Todd.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, believe me. So, Gap Weekend. Dream.
Movie about wine.
Before we get into the movie, tell us about you. What's your story about involvement in wine and your history? Just get us caught up on you.
Well, I've been, doing writing and directing movies for as long as I can remember.
Oh, really?
And then
this isn't
a lot
just
a
movie.
A lot of independent films for a long time. This is the film, though, that I sort of was saying, hey, I just really want to make a movie that's about one of my passions, you know, which is going to wine country and really kind of embracing that world. And that's kind of what Gap Weekend, you know, how that became. And it was, you know, wanting to work with my friends and just make the experience of making the movie, hopefully as fun as, you know, what I hope the movie is to watch. So, and we accomplished that, because I've done projects in the past where it's not as fun to make, and sometimes making movies, especially on an independent level, are just such a terrible experience. I was on a horror movie once that was just really, really terrible. So it's just nice to make a movie that, I actually enjoy the process, because, that's what it's all about. And so, yeah, so I've been going up, from LA to kind of the Solvang area, even before, you know, kind of Sideways really put it on the map, that area, and then also, Paso Robles, and just really kind of, that's my happy place is going up there. And, and so, you know, decided to make a movie, all about, you know, all about, the wine country. And I've also been doing a travel show called Living Like Locals, where we go to different countries and, whether that's beer tasting or wine tasting. And so it was sort of an interesting thing of, I don't know if it's art imitating life or life imitating art, because the main character, Gap Weekend, is basically the main character is about an aspiring travel blogger who wants to that's what he's always wanted to do. So I guess that's the autobiographical part. The non-autobiographical part is that he just got through a divorce with his wife, who he's really known since they were little kids, because she was the kind of the girl across the street. So he's back into the dating world for the first time, and in decades, really. And he hates it. And kind of after one last failed date, he posts this kind of drunken manifesto online saying that, you know, he just wants to find someone to spend like one weekend up in the Santa Barbara wine country, not as a date, you know, or for sex or anything. It's just to kind of create that wonderful feeling he had being with somebody for his entire life, that sense of familiarity. And of course, somebody responds to the ad. But what he doesn't tell her is that he's really trying to recreate this trip up to wine country that he did with his ex-wife many years ago. So it's kind of his ulterior motive there. So yeah, so the part about the travel vlogging is autobiographical, but thankfully the divorce is not. So but we're really excited. We shot it a few years ago and kind of did the festival circuit, and you know, been looking for the right home, and we finally found a great distributor, and we're starting the roll-up process now, and it's. Right now it's on Verizon Fios on Spectrum, and then also on Amazon.
Oh wow.
So yeah, and then it'll over the next few months it'll progress into different other platforms. And also because I'm because either I'm a glutton for punishment or because I love the characters and just love wine country is I wrote a novelization of the movie, and that's going to be coming out in January. So that's whether that's I guess I'm doing it backwards. Usually the book comes out first. And
yeah, it does.
Movie,
you're
but,
right.
but yeah, I sort of said, well, hey, what if I if I had like you know if I could add more scenes and if we what else would I do to go deeper into the characters and the kind of the world up there? And so that's coming out like I said in January. And ideally, I mean, I had such a great time. And really enjoyed the movie, and the response to the movie has been so great. I would, you know, I just love to keep making movies about wine, with characters up in wine country. You know, Marvel's got their cinematic universe. I'd love to have a wine verse or something like that.
Yeah. So, so you've been making movies. You've been acting in them and making movies for a long time. So this
isn't. I'm not acting in this one. I mean, I've acted in some small stuff and shorts and stuff, but I don't know how some of those people do it where they write and direct and act in the feature films. So I don't act in the full films. We've got a great cast. Some of them I've worked with before, and then we had a great crew. The thing about it, and that's kind of how I pitched the actors to get them on board, was to say, hey, look, I can't offer you, you know, the luxury trailer and the private jet or whatever, but what I can do is, you know, I promise you we're gonna just enjoy ourselves up there and really just, it's almost like a vacation, a long vacation up in wine country where if we go overtime, well, then we all have an extra bottle of wine and it really did feel like we were on vacation. And there's actually extra, we had to shoot pickup shots and normally it's hard to get actors back, you know, months later to shoot. It wasn't hard this time because I said, hey, we got to go back to some of the, you know, the locations and do some more wine tasting. And that was quite an easy sell to get them back up there for that.
Wine country. Basically, yeah. California is wine country. What particular area did you go to? Was it Paso Robles, you say?
This film is mostly in the Santa Barbara wine region. Solvang, Los Olivos. I personally love to go up to Paso Robles. That's probably my favorite in terms of like the types of wines that I love. But I love the Solvang area, and it was easy because it's very close to L.A. And then we shot in Santa Barbara as well. So that was a lot of fun. And I got a chance to, when we weren't filming, to kind of act as a tour guide and take the cast to some of my favorite wineries. Although I'm not allowed to, I don't think my wife says I'm not allowed to join any more wine clubs because there's too many good ones up there. It is nice though when you can take some friends up there and it was just a great way to enjoy ourselves, but also be creative. And like I said, I've done projects where, you know, it's such a kind of nightmare task to do. And sometimes the films don't turn out that well because it's such a terrible task to make. But this one, I really wanted, to make something that I was passionate about. And I think the cast and crew was too. My biggest thing, I don't know, everybody has different things when they watch movies, but I love seeing movies that, or rewatching them that like, are about places that I want to go to, you know? And so for me, it's like, well, I can't go wine tasting every day, but if I'm not able to, I want to make a film that, hey, this is what it feels like, to go up to wine country and with these characters, they have this date and this and the reason why it's called, he calls it Gap Weekend, by the way, I didn't mention it in the manifesto.
I was going to ask,
because British teenagers after their high school, many of them go off for a gap year and kind of like a break from their life before they start the next chapter in their life. And so what this character was proposing in his kind of Craigslist manifesto that the actress answers is like a gap weekend. So instead of a year, it's just a weekend where they can both pretend that they've been together forever. And the funny thing is when we were shooting the scene where he posts the Craigslist ad, we had to actually write a real Craigslist ad, and the camera was close to the screen where we hit, you know, post, and we posted it. And then, you know, when you're shooting a film, there's so many moving parts that when we did it, we were on to the next shot, and we didn't realize that we actually did post that ad. And ironically enough, there were
inundated with responses.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Um, it, it, it certainly certainly wasn't as romantic and sweet as the character who responds in the movie. It was actually a bunch of dudes emailing saying, "Man, are you okay? You sound pretty, are you okay? Should we call help? You don't sound very good." So when we realized that later on, we had to take the ad down. But yeah, it was up there for a good 2 hours. So I guess people do respond to these things.
I surprised me. I was expecting, getting female response that, ooh, a weekend, sounds like fun. But that surprised me that you had guys, "You okay?"
So I guess they were looking out for us. In the film, somebody does respond, and it's billed as a romantic comedy, and it is, but it's not. I hope it's not like it's not a very cliched. It's very. There's a lot of twists and turns, and it's kind of a drama and a comedy at the same time. There's a lot of twists and turns in it as well as they go around. The Solvang area and the Santa Barbara area, and have the weekend up there. Yeah. That's the story, and.
It sounds great.
Like I said, it's. I'd love to do more films up there and stories with these characters and other characters in Wine Country.
What did you do to get you started in wine? What was your, awakening moment saying, "Oh, I love wine. I'm going to do wine"? Because you did a blog too, I understand.
Yeah, but I would say the biggest thing for me was had wine, like as a kid at like a Thanksgiving meal or something like that. But it was really going up to Wine Country that I just found it so beautiful and peaceful, especially living in LA, which is so crazy and hectic. And you drive up the few hours and it's like you're in another country, really. And it was just tasting wines up there. And I probably the one that got me really into it, which I don't know if this is cliche or not, but this was back, it's going back years, was Justin Winery in Paso Robles, which now it feels like Justin's everywhere. But at the time, it certainly wasn't available, at least in the grocery stores and liquor stores that I saw, and just totally fell in love with it. And those heavy cabs and stuff is what I really love. But that I would say that it was going to Justin Wine and just those weekends going up there, just being like, oh man. Well before there was even an idea of Gap Weekend, it was visiting Wine Country, and that's really my passion now is when I do travel, is taking a wine suitcase with me. So whether going to a different country, it's going to wine tasting and taking back, wine that I can't get back. Back in the States, just right. Something special. In fact, I just went to Thailand, and before we left, we found out that there was a Thai wine region, and that sounds so strange, right, given the climate, but there's some big investment over there with the owner of Red Bull has a winery there. We didn't go to that one, but I'd say some of the wineries weren't that great, but there was a few that were really wonderful. And, we just love checking out and visiting the wine region. So we did bring the wine suitcase for that one, even though when we told people where we were going, they were saying, "Thai wine.
Thailand?"
Yeah, that's crazy. But you never know where you're going to find a really good one. So,
throughout the world, there's wineries now. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I, even a few years ago, I, I was on a layover in Texas and just sort of said, well,
oh my gosh,
you know, in Dallas, let me go to this winery, and, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, this, you know, and, you know, shame on me for probably thinking this at the time, but I thought, oh, well, here we go. It's just going to be, maybe it'll just be some, you know, not great, maybe a sympathy wine, but they were amazing. I mean, truly
yes.
Amazing wines down there. So, it's really the quality of wine and the quantity around the world. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, every state is doing wines now. It's you can find all sorts of wineries in any state you want to go to, but the worldwide wine market is phenomenal. I'm always amazed at the number of wineries that are in different countries, and not even to mention the states. It's
yeah,
and
they all taste so different, and
yes.
So it's just so much fun, you know, discovering them. And although I have to say that the wine, as much as I like to think I know about wine, the one that I'm still trying to get my head around is the our French wines, just because the way they designate them it's so different than how we do it here.
Yeah.
I just love learning about it. I mean, I'm certainly, you know, no expert or anything like that. And I'm amazed at the people who are, you know, able to smell it and you know the varietal and everything from that. But I do love just learning, you know, whether that's at a restaurant or at a winery, you're never going to know it all, which is part of the fun of it.
And what's so interesting about it is you can have a Cabernet Sauvignon just as a wine, a grape. You can have one in Texas, you can have one in New York, and you can have one in Oregon, and you're going to see subtle differences in them just because of the areas that they're growing and winemaker's style and stuff. And it's just, you can dedicate almost your whole life to just talking and discovering Cabernet Sauvignon or any other grape as far as that goes, and never run out of something to discover. It's just, they're different styles and different areas, and they're everywhere. It's
sure. Yeah.
Just phenomenal.
Hey, looks like you get to talk about it all the time on the podcast, which is fantastic.
Yeah. It's fun. Didn't you do a blog? I mean,
yeah,
are you still doing a blog?
It's a travel show, and we do have wine, but we also go to breweries and tour, you know, tips and tricks on various places to do when you travel. So not completely focused on wine, but certainly that's a huge component. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And
So you go to different countries then with your
not filming, although that would be my dream. But no, yeah, do different countries for the travel show. Like I said, we were in Thailand, but we haven't done a complete wine centered show yet. But that is that's on the radar.
Have you been to Spain or France or Italy or
France,
Germany?
Not Spain. Spain's not on there. But yes, France and Italy and Germany. Yeah.
There's your wine themes right there.
that's right. Yeah. And I mean, the thing about it, like, you know, you go to France, I just can't believe, you know, a $5 bottle of wine, and it's some of the best, you know. It's not the best wine. It's a really, really decent
really
wine.
Really good,
which you're not going to get here. So far, you know, when we do travel, we bring back the wine in the wine suitcase, and our tip is always declare it. And we've never had to pay anything more because we're just bringing back a case. It's not like we're, you know, selling it or anything.
Right.
You know, worst case, if they ever did need this to pay more, it would be, I think it's only like it's not crazy amount per bottle. I mean, it's still worth it than shipping it back sometimes. The only time I've had to pay is we were actually taking wine into a country because we were going to the Bahamas. And the Bahamas, when they sell wine in the grocery store, it's so expensive that it was actually cheaper to bring a case of wine into the country and pay the duty. It was still cheaper than going to the grocery store there in town and buying the wine. So. And it was better wine, so
that was good.
My the goal is to keep shooting. Like right now, we're launching the film over the next few months. Like I said, it'll be on more platforms. It's on Amazon, Verizon, and Spectrum right now, but it'll be on more. And then I've shot a subsequent film, which will be out next year. Not about wine, but that'll be the goal is to do more wine movies. But yeah, there'll be another movie coming out around this time next year.
Who is the main characters in Gap Weekend?
The actors.
Yes.
Rosie Kuchar is the female lead, and the male lead is Art Hall, who's somebody I've worked with for years. Actually, he was in the lead of my last film. The previous film before this was you're gonna see a theme here, but it's called Chasing the Sun, and that one was all about took place in Key West, and it was all about the Jimmy Buffett kind of tropical lifestyle. I partnered with a lot of tropical bands that have either worked with Jimmy or sing like Jimmy Buffett did, and they have their own set of fans, and so they did the soundtrack to the movie. And then when we launched that movie, I sort of toured with some of their shows so that I would show the movie, and then the artists would come up and play their songs. So he was the lead, and he played kind of this radio DJ in that one who goes to on a road trip to interview all the tropical bands in Key West.
Wow.
So that came out a few years ago, and that was a really wonderful experience. Releasing that, and I love working with Art. He's the kind of the perfect everyman. Character, and he really, if you do rent Gap Weekend and enjoy it, there's a lot of similarities to Gap Weekend in Chasing the Sun, and it's a lot of, if you like that music too, there's some really great songs from those guys that were in it, so the theme, I guess you can tell, is the movies that I really enjoy doing are these ones where it almost is like a little vacation. That one, Key West, and then this one up in the Solvang area, Wine Country.
How many movies have you directed?
So I've done 8 so far.
8? Wow.
Yeah. The first few was when I was starting out, and it was just, just a – cheap cameras, and you use a pizza box, as I like to say, as a bounce card. But those never got distribution, and really not many people saw them. But that got me some work for hire with some bigger projects, and also bigger projects for writing. I did a lot of work as a kind of a script doctor, so I would punch up dialogue for romantic comedies. That was kind of became my thing for a while. And then I started really getting more and more wanting to produce, and started to produce my own films, of which Chasing the Sun was the first bigger one that I produced. And then I kind of learned from that, and then said, well, hey, let me really do a movie with that I can control the environment and really get the actors I want to get, and have a even better time shooting. And certainly, doing a film up in Wine Country, at least for actors who live in LA, it was a much easier lift than trying to get them to like Key West, which which is fun, but it's a lot harder. So so it's sort of been a full circle journey in kind of starting out doing these scrappy little films on my own and then getting hired for some bigger films and working with some really recognizable names to doing now producing and doing still much bigger films, but the films that I can control and are not, that's not going to give me a heart attack.
Gap Weekend, does it take place in any wineries or is it just the facade of the wineries or
it's all in that area. So we didn't really partner with any wineries or shoot any full proper scenes at any wineries. But we certainly you can certainly spot Fess Parker wines on set where the characters are drinking a lot. That's one of the ones that we all stopped and enjoyed when we went up there and all those little tasting rooms in town and then we all as a cast and crew went up to Babcock Winery up there but not any sort of like full scenes or partnering with them, but like I said, I had such a great experience with this that and now in doing the promotion for Gap Weekend, I'm saying, gosh, I would love to go back and now do it, having this wine film under my belt. So if there's any wineries or people in the wine world out there that are interested in a location for us or want to partner on something branding wise, let me reach out. That's definitely something that we want to do in the future. Is it would be wonderful to actually, rent out the tasting room of some winery and really do another movie up there. I mean,
make it part of it.
My friends who are producers, we always laugh at not in a bad way, but laugh at these wonderful producers who kind of make a whole career out of making Christmas movies. And you see them now, especially now, on Lifetime or Hallmark. And they make such a great career out of that. And so we were joking the other day when we were on set about if we could, do wine movies like some of those other producers do Christmas movies.
It would be. I was thinking, does your wife go with you on these overseas trips and Key West
does.
And all this?
Not on the film so much. But certainly on the trips and the travel show, the films, she used to do the older ones, but not so much anymore on the film, Key West, she did go to Key West. So, cause who can pass that?
Who can pass it on Key West?
Yeah, but like I said, I've been no more wine clubs.
I'm almost at that point myself too. My wife says we really don't need to do that. Look at all these wines we have at home. I said I know. She said we'll never drink them all. I said I know, but
And so now when we go wine tasting. Whether we join a club or not, and we don't anymore, but we kind of say, is it wine club worthy? And that is to say, if you do a tasting, because you can go to a winery and there's some like amazing wines, but maybe for your own taste palate, they're not all of the different varietals they have is something that you click with. So for us, if we click with all of them, then it's like, oh boy, we're in trouble because we'll be tempted to join. But it's hard to be wine club worthy, and it's everybody's. And the other thing, everybody's taste keeps changing. I mean, I'm into heavier and heavier cabs and Syrahs now, and that wasn't always the case years ago. My palate will keep changing.
That's the way it works. Which leads me perfectly. That's a good segue into what is your go-to wine? What is your favorite drink?
So the one that I would give to if I was going to a dinner party, or it's a Friday night and I want to just have a great bottle, like I'd say the hands down best bottle of my favorite is it's Justin Right Angle, and it's there. It's a blend, and that's
red blend.
It's not their most expensive or anything. It's not, you don't see it in the stores as much like you do the cabs, but that's my favorite. In terms of like favorite wines, there's Babcock has something called Fathom, which is wonderful. And then did a tasting at Hentley Farm in the Barossa Valley of Australia. And that wine, I just wanted to slow the experience down if I could, do slow motion in real life, because it was so delicious. And I just like, it was, I would love to go back there someday, and still have that bottle from the trip. And I'm so hesitant to open it until I know if and when I'm going to go back, because it just was such a wonderful experience. So I'd say those are my, those are probably my favorite,
So you go for the reds and blends and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Years ago for the white, loved like the J. Lore Chardonnay, the big buttery, and not as much anymore. I mean, I love J. Lore, but just that sort of big buttery chard, not so much. I do love for whites. I've been really getting into Viognier recently, and because that. I don't know if you have this problem, but when it comes to red wines, I really pace myself and I can enjoy the experience. But maybe because I only have white wines when it's hot out in the summertime, I tend to drink it too fast. So I find that Viogniers, for whatever reason, I can pace myself more in it and treat that white wine kind of like I do a red, if that makes any sense. But so
it does.
I really do enjoy it. And Fess Parker's got a great Viognier that that I like too. So, my favorite, and like I said, my favorite region is Paso and Halter Ranch, all that area kind of near where Justin Wine is. There's just, at least for my taste, that's what I love. And I went to Napa years ago and then went back. I wouldn't even say it was fairly recently, but relatively recently. And I was just shocked at how expensive the tastings are. And it's
staggering.
It was shocking. And the only one that's as expensive is I went up to the, up in, Oregon in the wine region up there. And I just,
Willamette
again,
Valley.
I was shocked. Yeah. And I was just shocked at how expensive. It was pushing it where you're like, wow, it's $40 for a tasting. I might as well just buy this bottle, So,
yeah, that's right.
And then,
let the people know out there that's listening to that, though, the reason for that is Napa never used to be real expensive. I lived out in that area in the early and mid 70s up to late 70s, and Napa was free.
Okay.
Any of the wineries were free, but
wow!
But what happened was that San Francisco, so close to Napa, a bunch of people would get together, rent themselves a limo so they wouldn't have to drive, and go up to Napa, and they would start hitting the wineries one after the other. And they can just drink all the tastings they wanted and not have to worry about driving. And they wouldn't buy anything, jump back in the limo, and be taken home. And the wineries are going, wait a minute, we cannot survive doing this. Because the weekends, you'd go to any winery up there in Napa, and they'd be full of limos from people renting limos and packing it full up there. So the winery says, okay, we need to do something. So they started to charge. And it was a minimal charge, but it was enough to cover the cost of the tasting. Well, that progressed in the fact that their wine started to become more expensive, and so therefore their tastings raised to accommodate the cost of the wines and stuff. And now you're spending anywhere from 25 to even 100 in some of the wineries for a tasting. And most of them do give you credit for the bottles if you're going to buy anything, but still, it stops these freebie, let me get drunk limo
rides
up there. Yep. And so that's the reason that it started to go up.
Interesting.
And
that makes sense.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, now up in Napa, you see the bachelorette parties and everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually reminds me, when my friend got married a few years back, he said, you can plan the bachelor party. And I planned wine tasting in Napa, which normally is not something for a guy's bachelor trip. And in fact, when I was Googling, bachelor parties in Napa, Google was sort of like, did you mean bachelorette party? But so I was, the whole bachelor party was making fun of me for that, for planning it. And then they were saying, oh, and you brought a wine suitcase too. Da, 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 da. And then, cut to the end of the bachelor party weekend, and they were saying this was the best trip ever, and they're trying to fit all their wine bottles into all their different suitcases, and I'm just zipping mine up in the and they're all on their phones with their girlfriends or their wives, trying to justify these bottles they bought, like, well, no, honey, you're gonna love it. So, I considered that a personal win.
Definitely
convert them in that way. So.
Well, Napa. You mentioned the cost and going up there. Napa is so expensive. Every time I tell anybody, and I use at the winery, I used to talk to people all the time. Everybody has to go to Napa at least once. You have to go. It's like Disneyland or Disney World. You have to go at least once. It doesn't mean you have to go back every year or you have to have season passes. Same thing with Napa. You don't have to go up there all the time. You have to go and experience it at least once. And then you go to Sonoma. While you're there, you jump over the hill. It's a mountain.
Yeah.
And you visit Sonoma. And if you plan your time right, you can make a trip up to Mendocino and visit some wineries up there. But then you're done with them. Then you start going to Livermore and you start going to Paso Robles, which is also one of my favorites, by the way. And you go to Temecula. There's lots of other areas you can go to. You're going to get great wine. You're not going to spend $50 for a tasting, and that's only for one flight, and they got it broken down to numerous flights now too. And but once you've experienced Napa, Sonoma, you've experienced it, and you can take some pictures to remind you. But then you start visiting the wineries that are still trying to get themselves out there. Last time I was in Paso Robles, I drove west out of Paso Robles into the hills there, and there are so many little small boutique wineries there that the people are doing the tastings on a couple of barrels with a board across the top of it out of their garage. And
I love it.
It was wonderful. And they have two wines maybe, and the wines were reasonably priced and they were phenomenal. And I did the same thing. I came back with more wines than I should have. And they don't have clubs. They don't have, all this other stuff. But they just have good wines that the family makes. And you're so excited about it. I mean, it's just, but it's fun. I used to go quite a bit because it was free back when I lived in Concord up outside of San Francisco, and I used to go quite a bit, but I used to do a lot more to Livermore and places like that because it was closer and it wasn't as expensive and as snooty, if I may say so, because Napa sometimes can get that way. And so,
this is actually great. I'm taking notes. I have never been to Livermore, so I'm writing that down to go there.
Oh,
and I knew of Mendocino, but I've just never been up there. But no, Livermore, I don't think I've ever heard of. So I'm that's definitely going to be on my list now.
East of San Francisco, east of Oakland, and Concannon and Winty were the first two wineries that were in Livermore. and they've been there forever and ever. And the last time I was there, I think there's like 40, 50 wineries in the area now. It's just like everything in California. They explode. You know?
Yeah.
But what happens is all these people, all these areas in, well, let's use Livermore for an example, and it happens all over California, but Livermore, Winty and Concannon were buying grapes from all these little independent growers all over the place. And so they would get their grapes and they'd make the wines from them. Well, these little independent growers go, well, I think I'm going to open up a winery. And so all these people who would buy grape or who would grow grapes and sell them would now decided, okay, we're going to grow grapes and make a wine and have our own winery. So therefore you have 40 or 50 wineries pop up in the area that used to just grow grapes. Now they grow grapes and make wine. And so that's why you have so many wineries in there. And there's, but Livermore, oh yeah, definitely. If you've never been there, you owe it to yourself to go up and see the area and visit some wineries up there. Yeah.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the sense of discovery. It's those small ones I love. And I think your description of Napa as Disney is so on point because it is fun to go for one, you know, like to just go to something like, I don't know, Sterling or, you know, that does feel an attraction at a resort or the, I forgot the name of it. There's the castle one that's right near there.
What's the name of that? I can't think of anything. Or even Buena Vista is the very first one there. You have to visit that.
Yeah.
And
they're a lot of fun, but it does feel like a Disney type thing versus.
You've got a train, you've got horseback riding, you've got balloons, go once, have a lot of fun, enjoy it, but then you've been there. Same thing with Disney or Disney World, Disneyland or Disney World. You go once, you have a lot of fun, but then you can say, I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. So is Livermore the your go-to region now, or do you?
When I go to California, I usually try to hit Paso Robles and Livermore. And it depends on who I'm with. I took my wife out there and we went to Napa just so I can show her this is Napa. We also went up to the foothills and a lot of wineries on the foothills there that were really interesting. They didn't exist the last time I was in California for any length of time. And over the last number of years, there's a bunch of them that popped up and, east of Sacramento and going toward Tahoe and that area there. So there's a lot of wineries up there now. But, yeah, I think Livermore is one of my favorite regions. And actually Mendocino, too. Mendocino's really came in. And Mendocino has a lot of biodynamic wineries. They have a lot of organic. They have a lot of regenerative practices going on in the wineries up there and all that. And Mendocino is just sort of
interesting.
Leading the charge on some of that stuff, it seems to me. I've talked to wineries up there, and they have really embraced some of that stuff, I think, more so. A lot of wineries are going organic, which is not unusual, but going a step further to the biodynamic and the different categories that you can get now, it's Mendocino is a place to go to discover these and hear about it and all that. So
definitely check that out. The other one I used to go to years ago, and I haven't been, but I've heard it's exploded, or at least exploded as much as it can in its small area, is Temecula outside of LA, south of LA.
Yeah.
And I know I always enjoyed it when I went years ago, but like I said, I've heard it's really grown. I just haven't been in a long time.
I think Temecula has an AVA now. If I remember correctly, I think Temecula just got certified with an AVA you know, a specific viticulture area for them. And so what started to put them on the map was the film Sideways. And then after that, because that was filmed in Temecula area, and after that, they started to put more and more wineries there. So, it has, from what I understand, gotten quite busy there. All of California's gotten busy, though. Let's face it. I mean, there's, you know,
the
number of wineries in the country, California has like 70% of them, something like that. I mean, it's just crazy, the number of wineries that are in California.
And, yeah, no, and all the West Coast. I want to go up at some point to Washington for wineries up there, but one wine region at a time.
Yeah, I know. It's just and don't join any clubs.
I went to a friend's wedding in North Carolina about a year or so ago, and there was some great kind of really really nice wineries in that area. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, and I'm thinking to myself, oh wow, this is a brand new thing up there. Of course it's not. I mean, they've been doing it since, you know, Jefferson's time, Virginia, North Carolina region. So, it was just really, really nice. And you kind of get off the beaten track. I say that though, but then, you know, if you go on the weekend anywhere, even a place that's not, you know, famous for wine, you're going to, it's going to be pretty deep packed at a winery.
Whatever winery you go to. Yeah. Well, once you finish your California explorations, there's all sorts of places around the country that are phenomenal, especially Texas. You already hit on that, but you need to explore that more. The hill country of Texas was named by Wine Enthusiast magazine as the best wine region in the world three years ago.
I don't doubt it. I would have years ago, but I don't doubt it now. That's great.
Then you've got you know, the Midwest region. It's Pennsylvania all the way over to Missouri has really exploded too. So it's Missouri was one of the biggest wine producing countries, or wine producing states in the country before Prohibition. And Prohibition just sort of killed it. But then California took over. But Missouri has stepped back up, and they've got a lot of wineries around there now. And Iowa, I'm originally from Kansas City, so I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of wineries in the Midwest there. And there are just some phenomenal wineries that are springing up, some great winemakers and some quite innovative in styles and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see that too.
Fun to discover new regions and undiscovered. I love that. And also, like, talking to a winemaker, and there's a science to it, obviously, but there's also an art too. And that's really kind of, I don't know, inspiring when you talk to a real passionate winemaker.
Oh yeah, and these people, and that's the thing about the wine business too. These people love to talk about what they're doing. It's not like, that's a secret, I'm not going to tell you that, or no, I don't discuss that. It's just like, I'll tell you anything you want. Because they know they've got a special product there, and they know they're doing well, and they'd like people to enjoy it, and that's what's so interesting and fascinating about the wine industry, because all the winemakers and all the people love to talk about that stuff.
It is. It's a wonderful subject, that's for sure. And same pastime, really.
You can spend lots of time doing that stuff. Yeah. Gap Weekend now. Okay, give us a summary. Gap Weekend is out. You can get it on Amazon. And
Amazon or Spectrum, if you've got Spectrum or Verizon Fios, and that's with Amazon. You just if you've got Amazon Fire TV or whatever, you know, you can just say Gap Weekend into it. In our kind of technology forward lives now. So right now it's Amazon, Verizon, Fios, and Spectrum. And then over the next few months it'll launch on other platforms. But this is where you can find it right now, and you can rent it for streaming or purchase. And it's a fun movie. It's about, you know, somebody trying to recreate the love of his life, and it's a comedy, and it's also all about loving wine and loving travel.
There you go. And it's about an hour and a half long, and
that's right.
It's available.
Yep. So,
just anywhere.
Available.
So people jump out there, check it out, and
definitely.
If anybody's in the wine business. I just want to say, if anybody has a winery or something, reach out to Todd. He would love to use your place for his next film.
Yeah. So if you can find me, you just search my name, toddnorwood.net, or just Google Gap Weekend, and it'll come up. So
there you
go.
Okay.
Amazon, Verizon, and Spectrum for now. And then, and like I said, in a few months, we'll have the book out, and then we'll continue it on a bunch of other streaming platforms as we go through February and March.
All right. And Mike, do you have any questions or anything for Todd before we say goodnight to him?
No, I don't think so. Nope, just enjoying it. Took quite a few notes. That's basically what I do in the background. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you're still doing your travel blog?
Yeah, that's called Living Like Locals. That's the new version on YouTube right now. That's probably the best way to find it, or just Google Living Like Locals. That's living with an apostrophe after the end, like living like locals.
Living, being cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's where you can find all my stuff. Yeah.
Okay, Living Like Locals, and then Gap Weekend. So anyone out there, you can check any of those out. And if you need to get a hold of Todd for any reason, then again, just go through Gap Weekend or Todd Norwood, NORWOOD.
Yep.
.net,
right.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, there you go.
And
Todd?
You'll find all the info.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it was enjoyable. Fun talking with you. And best of luck when you come out with your next wine-based movie. Then get in touch with me. We'll do this again.
I definitely will be sure to reach out, and I will try to check out those recommendations with Livermore and Mendocino. So that's, I'm always looking for new recommendations. So thank you.
I think you'll like both of them. It's from what you said, they got some wines that might suit your taste range there also, which is always fun. So
great.
So thank you for joining us
so
tonight.
Much.
It's been quite pleasurable, and have yourself a good holiday season coming up here, and hopefully we'll talk to you when your next movie's out.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Okay. You too now. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye now.
Okay. And he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, a busy boy. He's traveled extensively. That sounds like fun. Australia and Europe and all that stuff. Sounds like a lot of fun. Gap Weekend. I haven't watched it yet, but if he said Amazon, maybe I'll check out Amazon and see if I can find it on that. And because I didn't want to sit down and look at it on the computer, really, because it's awkward watching movies on the computer. And it gets uncomfortable sitting here in front of you, too. Okay, so we are done for another week. I remembered Happy Hanukkah. It starts today, and for the next 7 days, we have Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. And so for all of you Jewish listeners out there, have yourself a wonderful Hanukkah. And we're coming up with a cigar show next week. And one of our two of our guests are Jewish. So if you have any questions about that, and you're not Jewish, then I'm sure they would be more than happy to answer, especially Mike, one of the guys in the cigar. He is really quite knowledgeable about the Jewish faith and religion and all that stuff. So that's always a possibility for you. He's fun to listen to. He said that something I didn't know, that the Jewish heritage goes through the female of the family. It is, yes, goes through the female of the family. If your mother can be Jewish and you were born, you're Jewish. But if your father is Jewish and your mother isn't and you're born, you're not Jewish. It goes through your mother.
Wow.
You would have to convert then. Yeah, I thought that was, he says, it's all through the mother, all through the female of the family. That's a matriarch type ascending down on that. So I thought that was very interesting. It's the female's the one. And what really surprises me when he said that, I said, but you see all these old Jewish rabbis and everything else, you never see female rabbi. And he says, because you don't have to. They all know and respect that the female is the ones where the lineage comes down. So, I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah. So, happy Hanukkah for all of you out there. And thank you, Todd, for being a guest. And we're done for this week.
Yeah. It's December 7th, for those of you keeping score. And we will be back next week, which is December 14th, live at 7 p.m. with a cigar show, special cigar show.
And if you missed, if you missed this episode, Saturday, Flightline Radio will rebroadcast this at 7 o'clock, or seven at noon. I'm thinking of. Check out Flightline Radio. Mike is live for 2 hours right before it comes on, so check him out also. So I'm sorry, I thought of that and I didn't want to miss it. So you were saying who the guys were?
So next Thursday on the special cigar show, we've got the cigar guys, of course, Cap, Craig, Mike, Phil, and possibly someone from Texas.
I wish I could think of his name. Driving me crazy.
I'm sure we'll hear about it between now and Thursday. But, join us in chat. I'm sitting here monitoring Blog Talk Radio's chat and, of course, Facebook and Twitter and everything. Just start on the comment section, respond, whatever, and I'll pick it up here and, put the question. I'll break in and say, hey, I got a question, and knowing Cap, he'll try and interrupt it and not let me ask the question.
That's true. That's why I was laughing. That's true.
You're not here to answer questions. Keep going.
You're not here to answer questions. You're here to talk about cigars.
In my chair and have my ashtray, my cigar, a little bit of a libation if I decide.
That was an old clip from a long time ago. Sit there
and tell people to leave me alone. Go away.
Go away. Leave me alone. That was funny.
And also Cap and Phil, the two that's going to be on next week, are the two that do the 1st and 15th, which is also available on Flightline Radio. You can look it up directly, or you can just listen to it on Flightline Radio every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., which is probably the easiest way to do it. So,
yeah, it has been. It's also, they're also on Apple iTunes, and they're constantly talking about the station and everything and listening to it. I'm just sitting there driving on to work, and I'm like, no, that was funny.
Yeah, no, I know they are. They really are. So it should be a good show next week. Should be very interesting.
Yeah. Kind of taking the picture for a show for cigars.
Yeah. And they've been wanting to come back. So this just should be fun. So.
All right. Have a good week and a good weekend, and be safe. And we will talk to y'all next week. Thank you. Thanks for
tuning in. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Juan. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine. Okay, I'm going to the green room. Join me when you get a chance.
Oh, yeah.